It's the Healthy Woman Show on WJR with Marie Osborne and Dr. Jonathan Zaden, presented by Women's Excellence. Now here's your host, Marie Osborne.
February is Heart Month, Dr. Zaden. We're glad to have you on board. This is something that's very important to you and your practice, I know.
Well, I think, you know, the care of women is what's important to us in the practice. And, you know, it's something that I think as you develop, an OBGYN practice over time and it grows, you focus on the gynecologic issues. And, you know, you have a tendency to examine people from a gynecologic perspective, you know, and there's a lot more, right? And we are kind of a woman's gatekeeper to health. In some cases, we really become their primary care physician. So it's very important that we're looking at that. And one of the ways to look at it is to look at the whole body and, of course, heart disease, because we know that, you know, heart disease is the number one killer of women. And that's a very, very interesting thing to say, because I think many people that will listen to the show today will say, heart disease is the number one killer.
It's hard to believe.
But we focus so much on breast cancer and ovarian cancer, right? But it's heart disease that we really should be looking for more. And there's a ton of statistics, and we'll get into all of that. We have a cardiologist on the show today.
It'll be great to talk with him. And also, we're going to be wrapping up the show to talk a little bit about insurance. And I know so many people are interested in that topic, that's for sure. Stay with us here. The Healthy Woman Show continues on WJR. Dr. Zaden, one way in which your team at Women's Excellence looks out for your patients is through routine preventative care. It's not just about a patient coming in for their annual visit with you, with the gynecologist. It's more looking at a broader picture of the patient, right?
I think the number one favorite question that I have in the office is there anything else going on? Just asking when I walk in the room, I do it, and it's out of sincerity that I say, what's going on? Because sometimes that starts a whole myriad of stuff. It could be what's going on with a patient socially, which might ultimately impact their care, or it could be that what's going on with the patient medically because they're very concerned about one issue. But you have to ask them, and then you have to wait and listen. So you can't just say, oh, what's going on, and then go on to your spiel. You have to say what's going on and listen to them. I mean, that's my style of doing it. I'm sure there's a lot of other ways to do it. It's what I've been comfortable with. But it's very important, because when someone comes in for their annual exam, there's so many other things that they neglect to tell you. Some of it's because they don't feel, you know, comfortable talking about their own personal health with someone. It's a deficiency. If you're not healthy, it's a perceived deficiency. Yes. Think about
what have you done to make this happen?
100%.
Right?
Even sports figures that are at the top of their game, if they have an injury, will play through their injury because they don't want people to know. And sometimes they make their injury worse because of it, right? They don't want, you know, the administrative people on the team to understand that they are having this problem until it becomes so bad that they can no longer play. And I think that's the same in a doctor's visit. I mean, when you're in the office, you have to tell your physician what's going on. And the best way to segue to that and make it more comfortable is just to sit down and say what's going on. And, you know, people always laugh because I've purchased for all of my exam rooms these garbage cans that are like $500 a piece, but they're enough to support you. And so many times when I have my laptop, I will sit on that and just type. You know, it's just easier because these exam rooms aren't big and they don't have desks, you know, and it's uncomfortable. People are like, man, this guy's, you know, sitting on the garbage can with his feet on the stool, but I'm looking at them eye to eye. And the reason I do it is because now I'm not looking up at them and they're not looking down at me. We are looking eye to eye when I sit on that structure. And that's a big part of it. It's really about communication in that room. And, you know, we got all the things to, you know, evaluate. We have all these resources in the United States, and I'm shocked by how many, you know, how few people actually utilize them. You know, I mean, we have people every year that we have to, you know, focus on getting their mammogram. We have every year that we have to, you know, focus on getting their bone mineral density testing. Every year we have to talk to people about getting their labs. Sometimes, you know, interestingly enough, you know, we're supposed to have all this preventative care in the United States, but people are scared to get their labs because they have a large bill. I mean, we'll talk about that later. But, I mean, you know, these are things that are impediments to care. And then, you know, obviously, you know, we're going to talk about heart screening. You know, that needs to be, you know, increased in all offices, I think, you know, for women, because I think it's still a male thought disease, even in emergency rooms. There are tons of studies where women have been sitting there with the same symptoms of men and been overlooked in the emergency room. You know, so I think that, you know, the annual exam is really about communication and really about how do we identify all these different disease processes that somebody may have just based on their symptoms. And then you get through to the more diagnostic testing and all of that. And then you make sure that they get all their up-to-date screening. That's why we brought in office mammography. That's why we brought in office bone density, because people are scared of these tests. They're not sure what they are. And if we can make it more convenient for them, they're more likely to have them.
And when you asked that question, I was curious when you said, hey, what's going on? Because I've had doctors say that to me. But the fact of the matter is, if I've never seen you before, or if I only see you once a year, I may not be really keen on telling you that, you know what, I'm having problems at home with whatever. So you really have to get right to the heart of the matter by saying, yeah, what's going on? And make it easier to have that free flow of information.
Well, my goal, and I think the goal and of all of our providers at Women's Excellence, is really to make people better. I mean, we work tirelessly behind the scenes. It's not what people see, to make sure that we're improving, you know, test modalities that we offer, getting, you know, testing in office to allow people to make sure that they have them done in a very convenient, comfortable way. And you know, I think that's the highlight of my visit. Like I said earlier, is, you know, in order to really take care of a person, you got to get to know them. And so sometimes just what's going on turns into, well, you know, my kids are doing this and that, and you kind of understand a little bit about what their life is like from that perspective. I really enjoy that. I mean, I'm a people person, and, you know, my number one goal is to help people. And so the best way to help people is to get into their head a little bit and understand them a bit. And sometimes what they tell me ultimately alters how I manage them. For example, I may choose to say, well, why don't we plan on doing your test or this in 3 months then, because soccer season, you're not going to get this done.
Oh,
no sense,
yes,
in scheduling it now.
Yes.
Right? If I schedule this today, it's not going to get done.
Right.
Right? So
right,
let's schedule it in 3 months when soccer season's over. And they're like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. They're more likely to make that appointment 3 months later if our systems, which we've put in place, remind them appropriately, than they will if I schedule that thing in 2 weeks and then they know they're going to cancel it before, but they don't want to say that they're not going to get
oh,
it.
Yeah. You know? You don't want to say that.
And these are important tests. I mean, I see people every day that haven't had a mammogram, haven't had lipid testing. Crazy.
And you even, I mean, there's other things too, like colonoscopies. I mean, there's a myriad of services that you offer, right? In, like you talk about the mammograms and all those other tests, but you also recommend colonoscopies as an example.
For sure. We do fecal occult blood testing at every annual exam for people over 50. And the reason that we do that is because I felt like it was an absolute deficiency of our practice to not get that done. People do not want to, you know, put that type of material on a card and send it in. And many times their primary care providers are not, you know, necessarily doing the testing.
Absolutely.
And thirdly, you know, getting a colonoscopy is, you know, every 5 to 10 years, depending on risk factors, so on and so forth. So there's a good chance of missing something in between. So I really focus on that as one of our screening modalities. And then, like I said, you know, focusing on, you know, making sure that we got, adequate lipids every year. I mean, I think that's very important.
And it's all about convenience for the patients, streamlining healthcare communications. We're going to talk more about that when we come back here on the Healthy Woman Show. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Healthy Woman Show. Dr. Zaden, you do so much preventative care in your office. How do you make sure that each patient is being reached and cared for the way they're supposed to?
Well, I'd like to say that I do it, but the truth of the matter is it's all the people at work at our office that do it. But what I think we do pretty well now is we have different modalities to contact us. We know that the hardest thing in any doctor's office is the phones. In every office, no matter what size they are, it's always difficult to get through, and people are always frustrated by the phone trees and so on and so forth. So I think the biggest thing is when you're making sure that people are getting preventative services and so on and so forth is to make sure that the technology is able to facilitate not only their orders, but the communication. And then if there's a problem with one of the tests, a quick response. And that's what we're really focused on this year in 2020 at Women's Excellence has been, really making it so it's a little bit more streamlined experience for the patient. So you come in and you get your annual exam. Mm-hmm. And now you've got, this myriad of preventative tests you need to do, and maybe even some things that were found at the annual exam that you're going to work up a little bit more in detail, like urinary incontinence or heavy bleeding or a contraceptive choice or, something different that, you need attention from that perspective. But now you have, like we talked about, the mammogram, the bone density, maybe a positive fecal occult blood test, recommendation for a colonoscopy. How do you get all that done? And I think that's where, we've focused our time and we focused on getting a live chat. We focused on making virtual visits, telemedicine visits, all these types of things to allow that to happen, plus increasing our availability, because we know that people that are stressed, you're going to hear from a cardiologist later, right? And he's going to talk about, probably stress, because, cardiovascular disease, we've already said, it's number one killer, right? Number three killer is stroke, right? And yeah. People are stressed out and they don't have time. And, one of the things they're going to neglect the most is their office visits, right? So we need to make that more convenient. And fortunately, we have, Jessica here to talk a little bit more about, what are we doing from that perspective? How are we managing that? I mean, I know that we do it, but how do you make that happen?
Just like you said, with the live chat and streamlined communication, we promote to our patients that they need to get their routine care. They need to come to the office. They need to get the care they need, but they can't do it if they can't get a hold of us, or they can't do it if, the time that's convenient for them is 10 o'clock at night, but no one is able to answer the phone for them. So the live chat has really worked to help people instantly and also take messages for people that are thinking about these things over the midnight hour, and they need to get it down and get a response back, and we can get back to them early in the morning. We're also thinking about adding a 24-hour live chat service that would help this as well, because we have seen an influx of numbers of people, at midnight, 1 a.m., 2 a.m.
People work all hours,
yeah,
right,
exactly.
Jessica? I mean, 9 to 5 is really something of the past.
Yeah, exactly. And every day we're checking our form submissions from our websites too, and we're getting a lot of responses of people, hey, I need an appointment, I need someone to call me on this. And if we did some sort of 24-hour service, we could really help women who that's the time that they're taking for themselves.
And I want to just take one quick second. This is Jessica Reset, the patient coordinator, Dr. Zaden at your office, Women's Excellence. We want to make sure people know who Jessica is and the great job, of course, that she does for you. And give us another quick snapshot. I know that those live chats, that's something you set up an appointment for, right? You have a very quick appointment schedule and you set that up ahead of time.
Yeah, because it'll never replace the phone. Some people like the phones. But imagine if you make a phone call and, we have to check our schedule and that time doesn't work, we have to check a different week, and that can take a little bit. But if you're sitting at your desk at work and you pop open our live chat, we can probably have done within 60 seconds, and you never had to pick up a phone, you never really had to break away from your desk or anything like that. So that's really the neat thing about it. Or if you're even at the grocery store and you're on your cell phone and it comes to your mind right then and there, we can help you right then instead of you thinking to yourself, I have to do this tomorrow. Well, then 3 weeks goes by and you don't do it.
Yeah. That was one of the biggest things that I think is, paramount to medicine, in that we have to communicate with patients the way they communicate.
Exactly.
I mean, it's so interesting to me, and I feel like it's so prevalent, that the medical industry expects, patients to cater to them. Yet we're a customer service industry. I mean,
thank you, Dr. Zaden. As a patient, thank you.
I mean, once in a while, there's a day game for the Tigers. But the majority of the games, right, are when most people can attend them. yet. Right. But that's not how it's worked for medicine. And I understand the history of that. Don't get me wrong. I definitely understand, you know, why it is the way it is. But, you know, you mentioned this earlier. I mean, people work multiple shifts. In many industries, they're working three shifts, especially now that the economy's better, right? And people, you know, are working. There's a lot of healthcare in the United States, right? So there's a lot of people that are working all hours of the night doing that. They are thinking about their healthcare, you know, all the time. And the people that are working 9 to 5, right? By the time they, you know, they're taking those 9 to 5 jobs so that they can satisfy, you know, their families and everything else. And by the time they sit down and have a few minutes to themselves, it's 10:30 at night. And that was one of the big reasons that, you know, I felt it was absolutely imperative to, you know, go down the road to implementing a 24-hour live chat. I mean, we have to have that kind of service for our patients, because if we don't have it, we're not communicating with them the way they communicate, right? I mean, people pick up the phone and they text me sometimes at 10 o'clock at night, right? They don't call me. They text me. Why? Because they don't want to interrupt their wife who might be sitting in bed with them next to them, and they don't want to do all that, but they want to let me know that, hey, I just want to tell you I was thinking about you, or I just want to tell you, you know, I saw your son and he did a great job on the field the other day, right? They don't want to spend 14 minutes on the phone doing that or leaving me a message and having me call them back. Yep. They just want to say something. Well, isn't that what people want on the live chat? What type of things do you see on the live chat? What do people communicate?
Appointments, prescription refills, test result questions, and even more extensive questions that we need our clinical team to look at least we can field that.
They can
start there, and then we can get the ball rolling with that. Because imagine if you try to call the office and then you need to talk to a doctor. Well, they're in with patients. They can't talk right then and there. And there's a lag in time, and it just doesn't always work. But if you give us the request right then and there, we can start working on it and get back to you pretty quickly at a time that's convenient for you.
How prevalent is it in your industry to have this much concern for the technology end of the business, if you will? You know, you've got the healthcare down pat, but this technology component, I mean, are there people like coordinators that can come in and help you do this? Or is this just Jessica who does this?
You know, these are systems that we've implemented on our website. So thankfully, like the whole technical back end of it is already done. But, you know, from a company standpoint, we have to have people manning it. So we got to pick the right people. And then, you know, people that have been with our company for a long time, making sure they know our systems to be able to handle the patient. So there is a little bit of work right then and there. We can't just throw someone into the live chat who, you know, just started working for us, because, you know, we got to make sure that they know everything we do and how to schedule appropriately.
And you have same day appointments, virtual care?
Yeah, you know, that's something we're getting to. And, you know, we promote all this stuff and we want to help patients and communicate with them at all different hours. But we also need to see them at different hours. So we offer, you know, the morning, midday, evening appointments. We even offer weekend appointments. We're getting into virtual care appointments. And the end goal is same day virtual care appointments. You know, if someone calls up and they have a question on their test results, okay, great. Let's get you connected with one of our nurse practitioners right now in the next 10 minutes. And she'll sit down and go through this with you.
And you're upset and you're nervous maybe about a test result, it would be just awesome to be able to talk with a healthcare provider.
Exactly.
Well, the problem is, I mean, I don't mean to interrupt, but the problem is simple, right? I mean, you've got this concern in your head, right? And you don't have an hour to drive there, an hour to be in the waiting room, and an hour to drive back or a half hour to drive back, plus to be able to take off of work. But you could take out 15 minutes. And you know that 2.5 hours that we just described really all happens in 15 minutes.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, when you think about that, we need to like focus on communicating with the customer the way the customer, patient, communicates, right? They can't take all that time out. We need to communicate with them the way they communicate, and we can do it via, you know, the live chat to schedule their appointment, and that can happen pretty quickly, right? And then we can do it with a virtual visit. And let me tell you, we are in the infancy of that. There's no doubt in my mind that we are just scratching the surface of what we will do with virtual visits. As a matter of fact, there are codes to bill these visits that aren't even documented by the government yet. I mean, they've put out the codes, but there's no pricing for them, and so on and so forth. This is the infancy of that, and I think it's going to be probably the most important part of what we do. And now we're looking even at Women's Excellence at taking, when we hire, like, you know, a physician extender, like we've been looking at hiring another physician's assistant. And if we do that, we are going to look at expanding Saturday hours, because we think that people, you know, need to have Saturday hours. Those hours are always full. I work Saturday hours, and one of my other partners works Saturday hours. They're almost always full. Yeah.
I can only imagine. Thank you, Jessica. As always, a wealth of information. Of course, Jessica is with Women's Excellence. And when we come back, it is Heart Healthy Month, or Heart Month, if you will. And we're going to be talking with Dr. Ron Stewart, one of your colleagues, Dr. Zaden.
I look forward to having him on, because I think he'll not only educate all of you, but he'll educate me as well.
Stay with us here on WJR. Dr. Zaden, it's a pleasure to welcome one of your colleagues on the show.
Yeah, today we have Ron Stewart. He's a board-certified cardiologist, and it's great to have him, because it's another facet that Women's Excellence is always doing, and that is, you know, focusing on preventative care. And I think you'll hear a little bit more from Dr. Stewart talking about how women go through their lives on a day-to-day basis over and over again without really doing anything for themselves. We talk about it all the time. They neglect their health in deference to their family members, their husband, and certainly their children, right?
Right.
You know, so Ron, you know, it's Heart Month, and, you know, Women's Excellence does this show every month, and we thought we would have you on the radio here and talk to our patients about all the things that they need to learn about and know about for cardiovascular disease in women. And I came up with a few facts that I thought would be interesting for this show. Number one is that cardiovascular disease is the number one killer of women. You know, we go through this, and we every day do OBGYN things and a lot of gynecologic stuff that I do surgically, but the true factor is that you're probably seeing more people that are having acute and chronic issues than even I am. So the other thing that I thought was pretty interesting is that 1 in 3 female deaths are from cardiovascular disease. And we focus so much on breast cancer in our practice. It's 1 in 30 in breast cancer, but 1 in 3 in cardiovascular disease. Yet you rarely hear anyone talk about it. How do you feel about that, from you knowing it, how it is from the inside, from a cardiologic perspective? I mean, how do you feel about that?
Well, I think that's very astute, because cardiac disease in women surpass cancer of the ovary or cancer of the breast. And the thing that's really amazing is that every minute in the United States, someone's wife, daughter, mother, sister die of cardiac disease. And I think the major thing that I see is called negligence. They have symptoms, which I'll describe in a few moments, that they neglect. Because today, women are very involved with business, working, taking care of children, household, and they rarely take time for their health, because there is a feeling among women that women don't have heart disease. But women are catching up with men, and 1 out of every 4 women have a heart attack, and they're usually over younger than 50.
You know what's amazing to me is that that's exactly right. And many times, even when I'm doing my cholesterol screening in the office, I'll have somebody, then I'll say, your cholesterol's high, and they'll be like, I'll just get with that. I'll work with my diet. And then they never make those follow-up appointments, because I truly believe that they don't think that they're a candidate to have a heart attack. They think more of it from a male perspective.
Right. So one of the things that we need to dwell into, and I'm sure you do, when you see women, they have higher risk. If they have hot flashes during menopause, if they are large women, they have a higher incidence of atrial fibrillation and a high incidence of stroke as a result. People that they used to be called women when they went to a gynecologist, it's called the bikini exam, because they would rarely ask questions about heart. All they were concentrating on gynecological problems, and Dr. Zaden is very astute in that, but if I have a few moments, I'd just like to discuss some of the symptoms that a lot of these women have. So the classic crushing pain that women, they don't have. They usually have arm pain, jaw pain, and back pain, of which they've gone to various orthopedic doctors for injections, when in reality, the back pain is because of a coronary disease or aortic aneurysm. So shortness of breath is another one, nausea, vomiting, dizziness, cold sweats, tiredness, and trouble sleeping. And one of the things also that I've noticed is that women are holding jobs, taking care of family, et cetera. They're under a lot of stress. And I've seen women that come into the hospital with acute chest pain and EKG abnormalities. And when you do a cath, we find nothing. And it's called Takotsubo disease. It's called the broken heart syndrome. And you see that they have coronary spasms. So I feel stress modification is real. And yoga is crucial. And I used to be in the 80s when I used to recommend yoga for the patients. They would think it was a cult. But now Mayo Clinic, Cleveland Clinic, all use that as a modality treating cardiac disease.
Well, it's interesting because, I mean, one of the things that I talk about here on this show frequently is just stress. I mean, people are going from one place to the other, and they are really eating fast food because they don't really have a choice. And it's all a setup, you know, for what we're talking about. I mean, I think that, you know, the three risk factors, biggest risk factors, right, are high blood pressure, you know, high cholesterol or LDL, and smoking. And, you know, a lot of people that are stressed out smoke, and they neglect their diet, and they ultimately probably have high blood pressure, and they don't even know it. So I think it's really important, as, you know, as gynecologists, you know, you're right. I mean, you had referenced the bikini exam because, you know, typically we've always examined people, you know, we take care of their female parts, but the truth of the matter is that we have to get better at, you know, getting the whole body. What would you recommend for someone to prevent heart disease? Because I think, you know, our listeners today will want to know, you know, what can I do to make my life better? I mean, obviously, you know, getting rid of some stress, but are there other things, dietary changes that might be simple for our patients to understand?
Yeah, well, the thing that was should also been mentioned is that a lot of women are developing diabetes because of the high intake of carbonated beverages. So that's one thing. I think the key issue is there's multiple diets, but the key diet is in your brain. When you want to lose weight, you will lose weight. I always tell patients, if they come in at 200 pounds, I recommend that they put on another 80 pounds. And they look at me in astounding and say, what is this doctor talking about? So I say, as long as you look in the mirror and say to yourself, I don't care about my quality of life, and put on more pounds. And usually that works. Motivation is a key issue. So the thing is that you listen to your body, and you have a wonderful family, and say, I want to be around for a long time. So the key issue is, like I told you, if you have risk factors, they have hypertension, diabetes, you should go to your gynecologist for further evaluation. And if he or she feels that you should see a cardiologist, I think that's really important. And many times we just do EKGs, simple things like that, and we can find abnormalities. And sometimes I see women that come in with atrial fibrillation. They don't know about that, and that increases the risk of the stroke. So the key thing I think I would tell you is listen to your body. If there's some abnormalities, don't be negligent and look for further care.
Well, I know that, you know, just from, you know, my training as an OBGYN, stroke is like the third number cause of death for American women. So, I mean, it's very important that we identify those things such as AFib or atrial fibrillation. But, you know, is there any specific dietary things? I mean, I know people talk so much about omega-3s and healthy nuts and, you know, and green vegetables and so on and so forth. Is there any other specific supplements or dietary recommendations that you have for our patients?
No, I think I want you to, I try to explain to people to live like I do, where I have no more friends because nobody wants to go out for dinner with me because of the way I eat. So I tell people you should avoid meat at all costs, no matter what. I think you should. The Mediterranean diet, of all the diets, probably the best one, the grains, the fruits, the vegetables. I tell them it's really a simple diet. And most importantly, is what grandmothers used to say, is to have breakfast. Very, very important, because otherwise your sugars drop through the day and then become tired. And what happens with tiredness, you tend to eat more and you tend to have more coffee, which causes more arrhythmias.
So what I'm hearing is a big lifestyle alteration. I try to do what I hear, you know, in the media. So, you know, you may not want, you know, have people that want to go to dinner with you, but I always have people that want to share some dark chocolate with me in the middle of the night
or at the end of the night.
Yeah. So that's how I do it. But the thing is I think, right, keeping your weight under control by keeping your diet under control and making sure that you're not eating, you know, you said drinking carbonated beverages, but I'm assuming you also mean those, you know, carbonated and caffeinated and sugar-laden beverages.
Right. One thing that I like to mention, I'm sure you know, is that another factor in heart disease in women is their exposure to changes in levels of estrogen throughout their life, especially during the menstrual cycles, during pregnancies, later after menopause. Alteration of estrogen also tends to alter coronary arteries and causes coronary disease. So women, that's another reason why women are very prone now to heart disease. I think it's becoming changing. Women become a little bit more aware, but I just like you mentioned, I think the key issue is that women feel it's a disease of men, but it's not.
Dr. Ron Stewart, a board-certified cardiologist, we're so glad you could join us today to talk about February being Heart Healthy Month or Heart Month for women especially. Dr. Stewart, I am curious. I've been a reporter for a long time, and I remember back in the day when it first became the thing to educate women about the dangers of breast cancer and how important it was to get a breast exam and how important it was to just say breast cancer. I mean, women didn't even want to say those words. And boy, did the media and the society really do a great job in beating that into women's brains. Do you think the same thing has to happen now with coronary heart disease for women, that we, the medical community, the media, and society in general just have to be made aware of how deadly this is?
Absolutely. I think the key issue is today physicians are so busy and putting things on computer. The key issue is listen to the patient. The patient will tell you if they have problems. And the women must, before they come to the exam, write down all their symptoms as negligent, I mean, as minor as they might think. They should do that. And when you do that, you tend to do more studies. And another one of the tests that I do now more of my patients, besides, you know, cholesterol, and I tell my patients they have lipo-A, which is really a big predictor of coronary disease. So the key issue is become aware and don't be negligent and listen to your body.
Well, I think that one of the things that, you know, people always want is they want tests. And is there any one specific test that we should do as generalists, you know, to help predict more cardiac disease in women?
Listen to the patient. Take their blood pressure. Take their heart rate. Check their cholesterol. And listen to family history. Family history is positive. And if they have any minor symptoms, minor or not, I would do more cardiac studies. Now, to just run for stress testing, stress testing has radiation, so you don't want to do that unless you have to. But if all these factors turn out to be very positive, then you proceed with more diagnostic studies. And if you can do intervention before cardiac muscle damage, you've done a wonderful thing for these people.
Well, I'll tell you, we talked a little bit earlier in this show about communication to patients, and it really all really breaks it itself down to listening to your patients, communicating with your patients, whether it's verbally or it's doing it virtually or doing it through an online chat. You got to listen to the symptoms that people have before you can treat them.
And one other thing, Dr. Stewart, that stood out in my mind, and you said it very quickly in passing, and that was because I see it from a patient's perspective, and that is, women, write down what it is that you want to say to your doctor. I can't tell you the number of times we forget when you're there, so write it down.
I love it when I walk into a room like that,
right?
When I walk into a room and a patient has a little list of things they want to talk about, I kind of feel like I'm off the hook a bit because I know that they know what they want to address, because there's nothing worse than you spend, you know, your 20 minutes with the patient, you know, or maybe even longer, and then at the end of the visit, they've got three things and they send us what we call a patient case in our office that says the patient wanted to know these three things she forgot to ask you.
Oh.
So, you know, we definitely have to listen more, but patients, you know, as a whole, I mean, need to be more prepared when they come to the doctor as well.
Dr. Ron Stewart,
absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining us today. A wealth of information. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Dr. Stewart, we're clear. Are you there?
All right. Yeah, I'm here.
Are you there? You did a great job.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're a rock star.
We'll put this on our website, yeah. And then also put, you know, where you're at on the website as well, in case people click on it, because I'm sure that some people are going to hear this and want to know where to go.
And it also goes up as a podcast at WJR.com. So thank you so much, Doctor. Have a wonderful day. Dr. Zayden, we wanted to wrap up this show today in February. Talk a little bit about using healthcare benefits wisely. We have a lot of healthcare benefits. Most of us do. We're lucky enough, blessed enough to have them. But it's also how we use them, right?
Well, I mean, you just heard Dr. Stewart talk about reducing stress. There's no greater way to reduce stress than probably to reduce your medical bill. So, I mean, you know, the first thing I think that everybody needs to know is that, you know, you have to stay within your network, right? I mean, so many people want to go to a specific doctor, but sometimes your insurance requires you to go to a certain network. And if you go outside that network, it's probably going to cost you more. And then I think paramount to everything that we do is the statement, knowledge is power. And if you don't understand your own coverage, it just leads to frustration. Maybe it's there's nothing that the insurance company's done wrong, there's nothing that your medical office has done wrong, but you're frustrated because you just don't understand why you're getting a bill for something. And then I loved it because I heard in the State of the Union, not to be political in any way, shape, or form, but one of the things that was talked about was transparency in healthcare costs. And that's the first I've heard of that. And Jessica, who was on the show earlier, has heard me say many times, people need to know what it is that they're signing up for when they get these tests. I mean, we send people to the lab. When's the last time that any of you out there have gone to the lab and seen what the cost is of the tests that the doctor's ordered?
It's one of the few things that we as consumers engage in that we don't know what we're paying for. If I go get a car repair, I know what a brake job costs at this facility or that facility.
What if you go to Target? I mean, do you walk out of there and you're like, yeah, I'm going to get a 12-pack of, Aquafina, and it's going to cost me,
it's bizarre.
That doesn't make any sense. I mean, you know, so you need to understand your coverage. The other thing that you absolutely need to do is, you know, you can't use the emergency room as your friend. Because the emergency room is very expensive. And it's one of the things, that's one of my biggest pushes, you know, for specialty virtual care and these types of visits, these virtual visits, because you have to stay out of the emergency room. And that's why we're really focusing on same-day appointments at Women's Excellence. Because if you go to the emergency room, it can rack up a bill of $4,000 or $5,000.
Easy, right?
And sometimes tests that are unnecessary, because the people that are managing the care in the emergency room, although they're great people and they are lifesavers, and I have a ton of respect for them, they're not specialists. So, you know, when they are, you know, brought a problem, they sometimes have to work it up very comprehensively. And whereas maybe a specialist would look and say, oh, I think you just need this one test, or you don't need any test, I think we can handle this in this way, the emergency room doctor may order 3 or 4 different imaging studies and all that before they even talk to a specialist. Why? Because the specialist wants to know more information if they're not going to be there and if they get that phone call. But that increases your cost.
Dr. Jonathan Zayden, once again, thank you so much for joining us today for the Healthy Woman Show here on WJR. So much information to digest and consider. Have a great month.
The Healthy Woman Show has been presented by Women's Excellence.